the 6th chapter, verse 11. For in that he died, verse 10 and 11, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord Jesus. We see here explained the final rest, or the rest of faith that must take place in our mind. Ooh. A priest must come to such a state of rest and faith that he thinks in faith, while in continual communication with his high priest, Jesus Christ. Remember, he said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As we go through these confessions of faith, we confess them out loud, they have been forming our mind into a way of thinking. Our mind being the control center of our priestly body. We must come to a place to where we think or reckon in faith dead, and then reckon in faith alive. So now we want to begin to, Lord Jesus, I'm ready. To think in my mind. Now slowly, without any confession other than just a whispered confession behind me, I want you to follow me, looking at Jesus all the time. Lord Jesus, I lift my old nature, all its demons, sins, and workings of death. Dead on the cross with you. Think it in your mind. Think it in your mind. Lord Jesus, I lift my mind, my head, my face, my arms and hands, my body, my lungs, my heart, my soul, legs and feet, my whole body, soul and being. Dead on the cross with you. Set your mind. Take it in. You're eating of this rest and peace of the Lord. Eating of that fruit of rest and peace. Eating right from that fruit of rest and peace now. Feel it working in you. Lord Jesus. At the cross. Quietly now. I received your pure flesh, saturated and washed inside of my flesh. And I received your pure blood, washed inside of my blood at the cross with you, Lord Jesus. Think it in your mind. Ooh, let it roll in your mind and thoughts. Feel it doing that work, bringing you under control. Peace and rest. Kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You're establishing righteousness and peace now. You're eating of it, bringing your mind peace and rest. Lord Jesus, your righteous flesh and your righteous blood inside of me, judge my old Adam nature, all its demons, all its sin, all its death, and struck them dead. And I was judged in righteousness. Ooh, feel it, let that peace. Let that control center of your body, your mind, come at rest in peace. Come at rest in peace and righteousness. I rest in your finished work. Lord Jesus, I became circumcised or separated from my old dead nature and Satan in the tomb with you, Lord Jesus. Ooh, feel that separation. Think it in your mind. Lord Jesus, Satan and my old nature was cut and separated from me in the tomb with you, and were utterly destroyed, were pulverized, burned with a fire, went up in smoke and back down in ashes, so that nothing remains. Think about it. Feel that peace. You're establishing a way in your life now. You're establishing a way in your life to let that righteous judgment, that flesh and blood of Jesus, be established in peace, to where you can go from there. You don't have time to fight this battle of faith over and over and over. Mine must come at rest to where it can bring the continual flowing. You can just think it into being anytime you need it. Lord Jesus, I receive my new nature.
I receive
your new nature
in the tomb
and became a new creature. Your new creation. Ooh. I received a new head. Your head. I received a new mind. Your mind, Lord Jesus. I received a new face, new heart, new lungs, new arms, new hands, new body, new soul, new being, new creature, new creation. I received from you, Lord Jesus. Thank it in your mind. Jesus, my new nature that I had received from you became glorified with your life, with your glory fire in the tomb. Just thank you and feel it. Come to Jesus, tree of life, and by thinking these confessions over in our mind, let's eat of his peace and rest until we come at a state of rest and peace. You're also at rest and peace in faith because you're eating of his faith. Remember Paul said, life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So you're building in your mind his faith. Softly, each time you make a confession in your mind, as you think a confession in your mind, groan softly and feel that spirit praying continually, fulfilling the commandment of the Lord. Pray without ceasing. And you'll relive each one of these experiences by just thinking them in your mind. Feel that state of rest coming in there. The mind of a priest must rest. Because that resting in his mind, in faith, is what brings a release to where he can move in other workings and other power. Let your mind, through thinking these confessions, become fully persuaded that he is able to keep that which you committed unto him. Let it be a confidence and trust in your mind, how that you can just think and you'll feel that flowing of righteousness. Think and you'll just feel that quickening of glory. Think and you'll just feel that new nature alive. Might be good to cut off the tape recorder right here and just let him bring you to that state of rest and peace. Ooh, and confidence and trust. Just cut it off. Let's do it. Now, since we've come to a state of rest and peace and righteousness in our mind, we're ready to let something else begin to work in us. That thankfulness. A priest must be thankful. At this time, you may feel that thankfulness as we go over. In our mind, you may feel it turn into weeping. Oh, if you do, well, just go ahead and turn into weeping. Yes, Lord. Lord Jesus, I received, I ate of your divine thankfulness, and your thankfulness hath glorified itself in me. I feel that thankfulness just glorifying you, saturate your new creation with thankfulness all in your mind. Think about while you were yet dead in sin, and he got you. God, who is rich in mercy and love, with his great love wherewith he loved you. You go on your own way to certain destruction. Oh, he reached out and got you. Yes, Lord. Snared you, trapped you. Thankfulness. Think about all the people and your associates. Oh, that are on their way to certain destruction, but you are not. Oh, let that thankfulness glorify in you. Yes, Jesus. Oh, eat of that thankfulness. Oh, now through that thankfulness, oh, you're beginning to eat of something else. That's that divine love of God. Lord Jesus, oh, I received your divine love and weeping. And your love hath glorified itself in me, saturated my new creation with love and weeping. Oh, let that thankfulness and love just move through. Glorify itself in you, possess your new creation. Judgment of God, and that thankfulness will move in you, stir, because you'll begin to think in your mind there, but through the grace of God go out, and then love will begin to associate you with that person. Thankfulness and love will begin to associate you with that person. Thankfulness is the entrance into real love. That divine love that makes you identify with the sufferings and the judgment of the other people. Be good right now to just cut off your tape recorder and let that thankfulness and love flow through your mind. Begin to let those prophecies and tongue interpretation and those songs begin to come forth in love and thankfulness. And move you into the place to where you can be like Jesus that identifies himself in love and thankfulness with the suffering of others. Divinely. Ooh. Just cut off your tape recorder now and let it work. Let the gifts operate in love. Let the preaching operate in love. Tongue interpretation in love. While you're in that love and that thankfulness, righteousness, you can choose the exact words to deliver because you're operating in the nature of Christ, of love, thankfulness. Now we're ready. While we're still moving in that thankfulness and that love, now we're ready to begin to eat the fruit of knowledge from Jesus, which is found in the midst of the garden and the tree, that tree being Jesus, that living tree. Because we've established in our life a pattern now, how that we move in righteousness, peace, rest, and have weeping and love working in our life before we ever eat of another fruit. We do not eat of the fruit of knowledge unless we eat it weepingly and thankfully. Because in not doing this, we might be tempted by Satan to be led astray and him give us the tree of his knowledge of good and evil. We've established a pattern now, a method, which we'll use in our every communication with Jesus. That righteousness, rest in it, thinking it, thankfulness and love first, till you're weeping in the spirit, then eat of the other fruit. A priest of God must rest. Feel that love and that weeping moving in you now, just thinking. Now, priest of God must be merciless to the enemies of God. Must utterly consume them with a fire of judgment. The love of God must always be given to people through judgment and terror. Never must Satan enter your mind and give you a good way to tell, or a good way to preach, or a good way to sing, or a good way to teach of the love of God in such a way that the love of God can be used by people as a crutch or as an excuse to continue in their own way and be destroyed at the judgment seat of God in fire and judgment. You must always, let as the scripture said, let there be blood and fire mingled with smoke. Let there be the love of the blood of Jesus Christ, who in the love of his body mingled with judgment and terror, fire and smoke. I shall not eat of the tree of good that makes the love of God of none effect. I shall not eat from the tree of good from Satan and makes you pervert the love of God by excluding the terror and the judgment of God revealed through the cross and the terrible suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross. Revealed to you there on the cross as the way of love. Love mingled with suffering and judgment. The terrible suffering and humiliation of Jesus on the cross that revealed to you the way of God's love. The way that he trapped you in God's love. He revealed a terror and a judgment that faced you. And then he offered you that love of his that brought you unto life. I eat of this knowledge now weeping. Think about the Son of God is there willing to suffer and become sin for you. Willing to become sin for you to reveal to you the terror and judgment of the Lord. That in order to do this you might seek his love. Let it be established in you. Old Satan will try. He'll suggest to you in your mind, try to condemn you in your mind, that you're not showing love because you have made the person that you're ministering judgment to or the cross to, you've made them cringe in terror. You've made them even cry out. He'll tell you you're destroying them. You're driving them away from God, he'll tell you. But look how they're suffering under the judgment, he'll say. Oh, you know a loving God wouldn't make them suffer under judgment. But you'll answer him, remember this. Ooh. If God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for judgment for us all, how shall he not through him save us from all things? You shall not let Satan substitute your old false religious fleshly pious love for the true love of God, for the true love of Jesus Christ, that he died there on the cross. You shall not let them make the cross of no effect. The true love of Jesus Christ is delivered to people in judgment and terror that offers no way of escape except through the love of God, through Jesus Christ. Ooh, eat of that knowledge now with that love. Eat of it. The picture is very plain. Revealed to you through the humiliation, suffering body of Jesus Christ on the cross. God willing to offer up his own beloved son to suffer. And then God himself to suffer in anguish. As his son suffered in pain. God willing to do this to show you and the whole world what treatment and suffering and darkness and terror that you and the whole world will face if they drag their old fleshly, sinful ways up before the judgment of Almighty Righteous God. Let it eat of it now. Oh, let's just stop a while and let that knowledge, through love, just there, what has happened, work in us. We just cut the tape recorder off and just eat of that for a while. Let it think of it. Now we get the picture. We get the picture of Christ revealing the judgment and terror of the Lord mingled with love. We begin to eat of that. The picture becomes very plain. He has revealed to you through his Son, Jesus Christ, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the strong soldiers came after him, and surrounded him with their armor and weapons, pricking him, pushing him, shoving him. He's shown you just how that every fleshly person, every sinner, must be brought someday utterly helpless by the mighty warrior of angels of God to the judgment hall and the seat of a righteous almighty God. Also the pricking and the beating of the soldiers upon the body of Jesus signify how that already in this life you and they are experimenting and are experiencing the works of Satan in their sickness and troubles, hate, all those prickings of anger and works of death. That picture just a foretaste or a little touch of what's facing you in judgment. All of these things are working of Satan, but they are used as warnings of God for people, are just a foretaste of what you'll face in the judgment seat, before the judgment seat of a righteous almighty God. God has revealed to you through Jesus Christ, his beloved obedient Son, standing there silent and helpless. Before the judgment seat of Pilate. In the judgment hall, he has revealed to you how that each sinner, each person of fleshly Adam nature, no matter if they are a Christian, shall one day stand helpless before a righteous God. Let love eat that knowledge now. And if they stand helpless before a judge, righteous God at his judgment seat, shall receive a sentence passed on him. Sentence of judgment. No way to escape. No place to run. No place to hide. Oh, sentence so terrible that many will cry out for the rocks to fall on them, mountains to fall on them, to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. But no place to hide, because they'll be standing before one that the power is so great that mountains flee and rocks fly away, so that there's no place to hide. I shall not eat all the fleshly pious love of Satan that will make this cross of no effect, that will make this suffering of Christ of no effect. I shall not. I shall eat with the love, divine love of God, and mingle it with terror and judgment and fire. Oh, so that I will be able to deliver unto people the true, unpolluted love of God revealed to them through the judgment. I shall not make the suffering of Jesus Christ of no effect through yielding your mind to Satan. I shall not live in the old ways of thy past life. That disregarded the suffering and the terror of Jesus, and give the love out of God that it was a crutch for someone to lean on that would carry them, struggling and striving on to their utter destruction. Be good again and just cut the tape recorder off right here. Just reflect in your mind there. Let this go, terror and judgment and love. God has also revealed to you, through the suffering of Jesus Christ, the humiliation and suffering of Jesus Christ, how the sentence of judgment will be carried out upon you or any person that drags their old Adam sin nature with all its demons, with all of its rebellion, with all of its own way before him in judgment. Jesus Christ in the judgment hall, after judgment was passed upon him, they blindfolded him and struck him on the face and mockingly said, "Prophesy who it was that struck thee," and laughed at him, signifying the humiliation that you as a person or any person will receive at judgment if you or any person continue in your fleshly ways of using the gifts of the Spirit, using the power of God to serve your own way in your own flesh. He'll strike you and say, "Now prophesy. Oh, now tell me what's going to come," but he'll blindfold you to where you can't see. The gifts of the Spirit will not operate. The working of the power of God will not operate. We see this taught by Jesus. "Many shall come to me in that day," he said, "and say, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And he shall say, Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me, ye that took the precious gifts and powers and work into the Holy Spirit and used them in your own way. Used them in your own iniquity." Every mouth shall be stopped in judgment. So be not satisfied. Be not lifted up in pride by the workings of the Holy Spirit, but fear lest I should bring a garment of flesh before a righteous God. Every mouth shall be stopped in judgment. And I shall not make this suffering and humiliation of non-effect by polluting it with your pious love. Oh, you're all right, long as you operate in the power of God. Oh, you're all right now, long as you go to the altar. I shall not eat of this tree of Satan. But thou shalt eat, ooh, of the true love of God. Blood and fire mingled with smoke. Love and judgment mingled with torment of smoke. Then the picture becomes plainer. Let's eat of the true knowledge of God now. Let that weeping continue in you. It becomes plainer. Then they begin to beat and whip Jesus. Immediately after this sentence was passed, they crowned him with thorns. Caught thorns that cut his scalp and penetrated into the sensitive part of his head, covering his skull, and sent excruciating torment and pain pulsating through his mind and on down to his body. Much like the migraine headaches that people suffer in this life, just a little taste of what's to come because they're suffering them in unbelief. As a result of yielding their to Satan and unbelief. A foretaste of the pain and torment that you'll suffer if you continue on your own way and your own religion. A crown of thorns signifying the first lash of judgment for you or any fleshly person will receive if you drag your fleshly mind up before a righteous God. A mind that ye have yielded to religious doctrine. A mind that you have let be polluted with religious teachings. A mind that you've let be polluted with your own way, your own ideas, your own interpretation of God. He'll crown you with a fiery thorn that'll expose your mind. The first lash of punishment you'll receive is the crowning of your head with judgment thorns of the fire of God that will lay open and expose your mind with all its demons, all its own ideas, all of its own religion, all of its philosophies that you've substituted for God. You'll be able right there to know all things for which you're about to receive judgment. Your fiery crown of thorn will expose your mind. No place to run. No place to hide. No mountain or rocks to fall on you and hide you from the wrath of the Lamb. Because you're standing before the righteous one. That makes the mountains flee and the rocks dance in his presence. Eat of that, judgment and terror and that love of God. And remember how you felt that same thing. Then, after they crowned Jesus with thorns, they begin to beat him and kick him and whip him. They beat and whipped him to a pulp. Signifying the punishment that you or any person that drags their old fleshly nature up before a righteous God will suffer. He'll take the power of his word and the fire of the Holy Spirit and beat you to a pulp. He'll open the book of your life and he will pronounce each sentence for each sin and every working of Satan that you have yielded to with power and judgment, fire of the Holy Spirit that'll beat you to a pulp, lash you. He'll pronounce guilty of lust and the power of the word will smash into you, producing the same pain that Jesus suffered for your lust as they beat him to above. But he'll beat you. He will pronounce guilty of anger, and the power of the word will smash into you and beat you to a pulp
Because you have yielded to that anger and you did not accept the deliverance of the love of the body of Jesus that presented himself to be beaten for your anger. He produced his body there to be beaten under anger, Satan, and torment through those men that you not have to suffer it. He'll open the book and he will pronounce to you guilty of blasphemy of my word by yielding to religious teachings such as, oh, God does not heal today. And then the lash of the fire of the Holy Spirit will lash you, producing the same pain in you, only eternal pain that Jesus suffered under the lash and stripes that paid for your healing. And lash after lash after lash, every blasphemy against the healing of God will be beaten out of you. Guilty, 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 and he'll smash you and whip your flesh and your old Adam nature to a pulp. Beat it to a pulp with power and fire because you rejected the terror and the love that he revealed through his son and went your own way, set up your own religious ideas, your own thinking. Just move there in love now and eat of that judgment and terror. Oh, eat of that knowledge. Just cut off the tape recorder a little while and study about it. Eat of that knowledge and let that knowledge of love mingle with judgment, fire, and smoke, torment, and terror. Oh, a judgment and so terrible, filled with such terror, that the only way you can receive the knowledge of it is to be eaten in the love with the love of God. Knowing that this is God's way to reveal, his judgment and his terror to people, that they might partake of his love. Now let's just continue, moving in that love and weeping. Let's continue to let the terror, the judgment be painted in our mind, be engrafted in us in knowledge. After they had humiliated him, and beaten and whipped Jesus to a pulp until he was too weak to carry the cross. Many of his insides were ruptured and split, and weaknesses had overcome him, but they loaded him with his cross anyway. And he stumbled, could not carry his own cross, and one Simon the Cyrenian had to carry it for him. Signifying to you and to any fleshly person the weakness and pain you will suffer. Because in this life you chose your own way to try to serve God instead of the way of the cross. Despising the cross of Jesus by your own religious love, your own pious idea, your own sinful way and so forth. You'll be weak, too weak to carry yourself to put in the eternal fire. But you'll go. Angels will carry you. Judge, beaten and mangled to the pit and cast you in to suffer torment forever and ever because you chose other ways except the way of the cross. Eating that with love now. But they weren't through. The judgment is not yet through. The terror is not yet through. Then we see Jesus continuing to reveal the judgment and fire and terror. We see him being nailed to the cross, and the cross lying on the ground, nails through his hands, nails through his legs, securely nailed to the cross. Then we see something else happen. The cross dropped with a jolt into the ground. That jolt brought alive and revived Jesus' already beaten, mangled, suffering body. Revived it. That jolt brought it alive. That's the reason they jolted the cross, to bring it alive, to get it ready to suffer more, writhing in agony and torment. Signifying to you or any person, fleshly person, the jolt that you will receive when you go to the edge of the pit of fire and brimstone. You'll not be allowed to die. But just before you're flung into the pit, God will give you just enough jolt of his eternal life to make your suffering eternal, everlasting, forever. You'll not be allowed to die. He'll give you just enough jolt of his spirit of life until you'll be eternal, and it'll last forever. Ooh. Ooh. Eat of that knowledge. Let the true knowledge of God move in you. Or the old false knowledge of religious piousness that makes the cross some kind of nothing will not begin to work in your life. Let your new creation be saturated with the true terror and judgment and love of the cross. Ooh, but it's not over yet. Then we see Jesus hanging on the cross. As your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world came down upon him, he absorbed them into his body. He that knew no sin, obedient and faithful unto death, as the writer of Romans says, he became sin for you, sin for us. Such a darkness settled upon him. As the old Adam nature and all of his demons and sin came down upon him, such a darkness settled upon him that the obedient Son of God that had never done anything obedient in his life began to cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Signifying the same feeling of darkness and despair that you'll feel as you sink down in the pit of darkness forever and ever to suffer over and over and over the torment eternal. The torment eternal because you have rejected the sufferings and the love of God through the cross. As you sink slowly down into this darkness, nothing will be hurried. As you sink slowly down in this darkness of the pit, you will hear a mocking laugh, signified by David the psalmist, which said, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. As your separation become permanent from God, all hope will leave you. That spark of hope that maybe God would repent and save you after you suffer, it'll leave you as you hear him sit and laugh. As we see Jesus hanging on the cross, suffering and writhing in such agony that all his inside became a mass of blood and water. Oh, we see that they walked by and waggled their tongues and mocked him and laughed at him. Said, you saved others, save yourself. Signifying the same mocking and laughing that a righteous God will do to you as you sink down in that pit. The psalmist said he shall laugh when your calamities shall come upon you. He'll mock and laugh at your religious forms of salvation. He'll mock and laugh at your church membership. He'll say to you mockingly as you sink down in darkness, you saved others by your religious form. Save yourself. You saved others by your ideas and plans of salvation. Now save yourself, and down you'll go with a mocking laughter of God ringing in your ear. No ploy, no plan of salvation to escape. Too late. Down in the pit of torment forever and ever and ever. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and then all hope shall leave. Because God has finally turned from judgment to laughing at his finished judgment. Because you rejected the love of God revealed through the cross. Ooh, just to eat of that knowledge. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ooh. off your tape recorder right here and begin to eat of this knowledge, oh, that you received in love, and begin to let these prophecies, oh, tongue and interpretation about the judgment fire of God, that's almost too terrible to speak, but cut off your recorder and let them begin to move in you, will you? In weeping, and let him form in you a way to deliver. Just cut it off right now. Now you have understood how that you will clothe upon people the judgment fire of God. Because you felt that clothing upon yourself, and that power has now been delivered into your hands, that you might clothe it upon others, that you might begin to, in love and thankfulness, eat of this terror and judgment of the Lord, and use it in such a way it'll clothe upon them. Did you feel that utter terror and that utter hopelessness clothe upon you as I ministered to you and clothe you with that judgment? Made something in you cry out, you know. Oh, to be judged righteously. Oh, instead of being judged in judgment, didn't he? Now you're beginning to understand one of the secrets of the ages. You begin to understand one of the weapons, one of the weapons that Jesus Christ uses to clothe upon the people to deliver them. He does not use one of those little pious forms of love that makes the cross of no effect. But in love you shall eat of this cross. In love you shall eat of this suffering. In love you shall eat of this judgment and terror. You shall not eat of this in harshness. You shall not be tempted by Satan to eat of judgment any other way except through love. Oh, you can eat of judgment, but then it'll create in you a harshness that wants to destroy the people instead of deliver them. You shall eat of judgment and terror in love. Now you're beginning to understand the weapon, the mighty weapon that God's given you. This is the weapon that'll clothe upon the people in judgment. As you hold that crucified body of Jesus up before them, and just like I did, only a little harder and more so, you will take the word of God and you will beat them to death. You will clothe upon them and you will beat them to a pulp. You will beat the righteous to death in glory, and you'll beat the unrighteous to death in judgment. Now you understand the clothing upon. You understand one of the weapons that God will use to change the ages. A weapon so strong and so powerful that even the false church and the false prophet will cringe under its terror. Yes, Lord. Oh, and then through that he will snare even the false prophet. Oh, go right to the very seats of false religion, to the false prophet himself, and snare him and even snare Satan with that terror of the Lord and cast him into the pit. Oh, but in that love, you have also understood. In that love, you've also understood how that people are dying under the judgment of God. You've understood how they're living this life deceived by false religion. And you're able to associate yourself with them now. Ready now to go to any lengths. You'll not let him substitute a pious love that makes the cross of no effect, but you will clothe fully upon them the judgment. And down they will go in despair, or either they will rise in faith and love, and be delivered. Now you understand Revelation, the 19th chapter, one of the weapons that'll be used. Revelation, the 19th chapter, verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. This is the war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. You felt that fire. You feel it moving in your eyes, in your voice. And on his head were many crowns, dominion and power. You felt it. You felt a mastery of that thing. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in the blood, and name is called the Word of God, your high priest. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon his white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now you understand that you're to follow him, aren't you? And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. That sharp sword, that Word of God you heard just now, that truth that pounded and pounded and pounded and clothed you with such a terror and judgment that even you and your righteous soul begin to want to escape. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that Word of God, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God. With his cross, with his clothing upon of judgment, you shall hold the righteous under deliverance in that straitjacket of the crucified body of Jesus. But you shall hold, the wicked under judgment. And the more the wicked fight against that clothing of the crucified body of Jesus, the more it shall beat them and pummel them and judge them until they're so weak they can't resist. But it'll lead the righteous to deliverance. Verse 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Established his kingship through the cross, the mystery of the cross. You have eaten of that knowledge in love. Now won't you just take your hand, reach him out in front of you there and make a motion now. See if you just can't clothe that crucified body of Jesus upon something right in front of him. Just put it right now like you're laying hands on. Feel it go down there. Go down there. The reason for this, if you have let this new creation of yours be glorified in knowledge. Be glorified in knowledge, so that you're now ready to begin to move and let them form messages. But this word of warning, thou shalt not eat of the tree of harshness of Satan, but thou shalt eat of the tree of the love of Christ. And then in that love thou shalt form terror and judgment. Verse 17 of Revelation 19 chapter, we see as this mighty working of the cross is revealed in the earth, I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the great supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. signifying how that in the Old Testament, when the time of sacrifices came, the birds would gather. The fowls of the air would gather and eat the droppings of the sacrifices, the refuge of the sacrifices. And then after the sacrifices were completed, of which we'll learn more later, the birds would follow, the righteous people in the battle. The righteous people of God in the battle. And our great kings would fall under the battling of the righteous. And the birds would eat their flesh and would eat them until nothing was left but bones. This was what will happen after you make your ascension and you make yourself measure up to the standard to become his wife, his bride, to be used of him, to deliver the clothing upon him of the crucified body of Jesus with might and power, respecting neither man, woman, boy nor girl, bond or free, rich or poor. Verse 19 of the 19th chapter of Revelation. Look at the result of it. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his name, army. You need no worry. You'll understand as you begin to move forth in this, you're beginning to understand now what Jesus said, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. When you begin to move in this clothing of bone, they'll gather together against you. But they can't prevail. But the time has come. They shall not prevail. Because they have prevailed against the true church of Jesus before. And now the martyrs, the souls of the martyrs that they slayed, that the false church slayed is under the altar, been crying out for over 1,500 years. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Oh, how long? And he declared now, thou shalt not anymore martyr and destroy my people. But when thou shalt come against them, I shall clothe thee with my fire, and I shall hold thee under judgment. Either judge you right there, or I'll hold you reserved to judgment. But either way, I'll hold you. Verse 20, and the beast was taken. Even Satan himself was taken. All of his kingdom taken with his clothing upon on the cross. And with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image, and they both were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. This rendering, you will not cast him in there, but you will render him so helpless by the clothing upon of the judgment fire, of the crucified body of Jesus Christ, until even a little angel just comes and flicks him right over into that fire and that torment. Verse 21, listen to the utter judgment and to the utter destruction. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him, that word of God, that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Now remember this. In this battle you shall not fight. Notice when he rides forth that Jesus rides forth with you. The one that hath all power in heaven and earth. The same one in Mark the 16th chapter verse 20 that went forth working with them, confirming the word with signs following. You will learn to be in so communication with him and so obedient to him when you clothe the person upon clothes them upon too. And you'll have a double portion of ministry. And you may miss them trying to wiggle out money and fight, but he won't miss it. He'll tighten that judgment on them. He'll tighten that clothing of judgment on them and tighten it on them and tighten it on them and tighten it on them until many will fall in utter death. Many will go loony. As some you have seen trying to go loony as they try to fight against this clothing upon of the crucified body of Jesus. A weapon you've received. A weapon you've received. Then, after the clothing upon of the cross has rendered Satan helpless, hath rendered the false prophet helpless. Chapter 20, verse 1-3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, set a seal on him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed for a season. This binding of Satan, this binding of religion in the earth, by clothing the bone of the crucified body of Jesus, in the midst of all of this, there will also be working the fiery judgment of wars, nation against nation, that will lead people to utter despair as the fire of atomic warfare and the germs and the pollution of the fallout, everywhere you go, it'll fall out against those. And it'll lead them to utter despair, and the religious church will have nothing to offer them. And they'll be ready. Because he'll work with you. Ooh. Let's just eat of that knowledge now and weep in a little bit. Let's go ahead and eat in it and let those prophecies, tongue interpretation, begin to roll in you again. Oh. Thou shalt look at me that hath eyes of fire and judgment fire, and thou shalt develop in thy eyes of fire, that as thou dost minister and preach the cross unto people, thy eyes shall penetrate their very soul. Yea, and thy eyes, my eyes of fire that'll move through you. Yea, shall strike terror in them, even at thy look, saith the Lord, as thou dost clothe upon them in my judgment, thus saith the Lord. Go ahead and develop those eyes of fire. Let that fire possess you. Your new creation all over.
Let it possess you. Your eyes of fire. Burn in. Put judgment. Burn the heart of fire.
Fingers!